Don't Move a Muscle. The podcast is starting.
Hello and welcome to Podtrificus Totalis, a Harry Potter read-along podcast. We are here today to do Chapter 3 of Prisoner of Azkaban, The Night Bus. I am your host, Cassie.
And I'm Joe.
And yes, I said Night Bus before we introduced ourselves. Usually we do it the other way around, so that's why this feels weird. But yes, we are here to do Prisoner of Azkaban. Now, for the chapter summary, Joe and I had to have a first conversation of, for our last episode, we had our guest do the chapter summary for the first time ever.
And she did amazing. I was very impressed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I loved having Angel on the show. She was a lot of fun. So go listen to that if you haven't. What are you doing listening to these episodes out of order?
What are you jumping into chapter 3 of the third book?
You're not going to know what's happening.
Clearly, if you're listening to this podcast, you've never read the books before.
Yeah.
So
yeah, remember when we said read along with us and then we took a break for 2 years? So we decided that because Angel chose to do the chapter summary for the episode she was on, that I'm just going to do it this chapter because it would have been my turn to do it last episode. So Joe, do you have a timer ready? Because we challenge ourselves to do the chapter summary in 30 seconds or less. Is that a movie, 30 seconds or less? I'm pretty sure that's a movie with Jesse Eisenberg.
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
It's a pizza delivery movie.
Is it really?
Well, it starts that way.
Okay.
It's about...
I think it's rated R, so we don't need to get into it. do you have a timer ready?
I do.
Remember when we said this podcast would be 30 minutes or less each episode? Okay, here we go. Ready?
Never expected that much.
Harry flees the Dursleys' house after blowing up Aunt Marge, then quickly realizes he has nowhere to go. He decides he will live his life as an outlaw. While getting his invisibility cloak out of his trunk, he sees a dark shadow watching him, but then the night bus appears. Harry rides to Diagon Alley on the bus, claiming to be Neville Longbottom, and learns about the escaped prisoner of Sirius Black. Cornelius Fudge meets Harry at the Leaky Cauldron, forgives him for blowing up Aunt Marge, and arranges for Harry to stay in London until the school year starts.
Not bad. 23 seconds.
Oh, wow. I got panicked in the middle of that one. Like, this is taking too long. I need to hurry up.
I was surprised you started in the previous chapter.
Yeah, I felt like we needed that context for like why Harry is out on the streets alone. I have to say, though, Harry is a melodrama queen in this chapter. He keeps going on about, like, I'm an outlaw. I have to start my life as an outcast.
And he immediately gives himself an alias, which is just stealing his friend's name.
And like at one point he is comparing himself to Sirius Black, the escaped prisoner who killed 13 people. He's like, maybe I'm just as bad as Sirius. Maybe I have to go to Azkaban too. And it's like, Harry, all you did was blow up your aunt. Like, she's still alive as far as you know.
And we do, by the end of the chapter, know that they deflated her.
Which was horrifying.
They popped her.
Yeah, and they specified punctured, not just not deflated or like used a counter curse. They punctured her.
But they erased her memory, so it's all fine.
Yeah, well, I'm not fine with it.
I kind of understand why they wouldn't erase Petunia and Vernon's memory.
Yeah.
But they probably should have.
I mean, they're muggles who at least like already knew about the magical world. So
yeah, this isn't a surprise to them. But
they could have done that for Harry.
Yeah.
They could have made his life a little bit easier. Yeah. So Harry is just, and like, I get it. I get that he's just run away from home. He just did something really bad that he was warned about last year.
I mean, in his head right now, his mindset is similar to Hermione's in the first book, where she's saying, or worse, expelled. Like, that's the worst possible thing. So it's only going to be terrible from there. Like, he did the thing that was going to get him expelled. So he does deserve to go to Azkaban.
I get that. I get that panic of like, he knows what the consequences for this were, and he's imagining how they will play out. But I guess, and I have that hindsight of knowing, like, it's okay, Harry, you're not getting expelled, like, chill. But it is kind of funny. And I think it's true, too, what would be going through a 13-year-old's head when they just run away from home. They're like, I guess I have to live as an outlaw now. Like, I guess this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. His plan, by the way, for being an outlaw is terrible because he's like, I'll get to Diagon Alley. lay low, take all my money out of the bank, and then go live as an outlaw. I'm like, Harry, if people are searching for you,
you can't go to your own bank.
They're not. Yeah, they're going to watch your bank account, and you know what the Gringotts security is like.
Yeah.
Ugh, yeah.
Somebody's going to get notified during your roller coaster ride down to your bank vault, and then someone will be waiting for you. And he doesn't even make it that far.
No,
is the worst part.
These are just his plans.
His plan failed immediately. He got on a bus he didn't mean to call and then was caught by the head of the people he thought was coming for
him. The minister of magic himself. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. So like I said, Harry runs away from home and decides he's going to live his life as an outcast. And his plan is that he's going to take out his invisibility cloak, bewitch his trunk to be light, and fly to London.
Does his trunk have like wheels or anything? Or has he just been like dragging this thing down the road?
They always have the carts in when they go to the platform in
King's
Cross.
Yeah, but I think those are like platform
carts. Those
are the
train, property of the train station. Like when you go to the airport, you know, they have carts that you can borrow.
These are basically just shopping carts for luggage.
I think he's dragging the trunk.
Yeah, I think he's dragging it, which like understandably he is tired.
It's heavy.
Yeah, that's all of his stuff.
But so this is his plan. And while he's fishing around in his trunk for the invisibility cloak, he's got his wand out. He senses something. He feels like he's being watched.
The hairs on the back of his neck stand up.
Yes. And we never really figure out what this was. He says later to Stan Shunpike, the like conductor of the night bus. He's not even like the conductor. He doesn't drive the thing. He just kind of like he's like the host.
He is like written as the conductor.
Yeah.
Which I didn't put together like, well, actually in the chapter, I just thought, OK, he's an attendant. He's like the waiter. He greets waiter. People and he serves them hot chocolate directly onto their pillow.
Yeah. So Harry does say to Stan, like, it looked like a big old dog, but we don't really get a good idea of what spooked Harry in that moment because the night bus appears and scares it away.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the chapter's called The Night Bus. Most of the chapter is spent on the night bus. So we're going to spend most of this episode talking about the night bus. So let's talk about the name The Night Bus. Now,
it's a very good name.
It's a good pun. To help our listeners out, it's spelled in the chapter as Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, like a knight, like a medieval
knight. In shining
knight.
Armor,
yeah.
Yes.
Yes, that way.
Shining purple armor and gold lettering.
Yes, and this is a good pun because it references night buses, N-I-G-H-T, like nighttime, night buses in Britain, which are buses that run after hours, and apparently there aren't many of them. I wasn't fully able to learn about the night bus schedule in Britain, but this the night bus in Harry Potter, K-N-I-G-H-T, is a reference to that because the night bus in Harry Potter helps out people who are like stranded and need transportation. But also it suggests that idea of like rescue and protection like a knight in shining armor would.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a good pun that works on like those two levels that I enjoy a lot. They're homonyms. If anybody wants a good word to impress their English teachers, I was able to find a little bit about the history of the night bus. This was according to wizardingworld.com, which is new Pottermore. Basically, I'm going to keep calling it Pottermore. I don't like wizardingworld.com.
Okay. Mostly, you say that every time.
I know, because I don't like it. So the night bus obviously adapts Muggle technology. Buses out of a need for transportation. They specified for the underage or the infirm. It specifically mentions those who are flu sick, whose apparition is unreliable, who hate heights or feel frightened or queasy taking portkeys. The night bus comes in for those folks. Mm-hmm. Now, it does specify that the night bus hit the streets in 1865. And I'm going to show my behind here. When were cars invented? Because I didn't think it was as early as 1865. Like, that's when the Civil War was happening here in the
I'm
U.S.
I'm going to look it up, but I could have sworn it was early 1900s.
That's what I thought. And my reference point for that, by the way, is Downton Abbey. Because in Downton Abbey, it's like a big deal when they get a car. So I didn't think that buses were really a thing. And like, not to be like American centric or anything, but weren't cars invented in America?
1885, the first automobile.
So how did the night bus hit the streets in 1865?
Magic time travel. I don't know.
Okay. So that's a problem.
J.K. Rowling has been clear about her poor math skills.
Yeah. So ignoring that, the night bus was introduced and it was initially unpopular among some pureblood wizards who objected to adapting Muggle technology. But the bus itself became hugely popular amongst the wizarding community at large. And so that dislike of it kind of died down or hushed up, basically. The only other interesting thing that was in that article for me, or there's two things. One of them is that in order to summon the night bus, a witch or wizard in urgent need of transportation sticks out their wand arm at the curb. And I thought this was kind of fun because that is what Harry does to summon the night bus. But obviously he doesn't knowingly do it. He's just holding his wand.
And trips. Yeah.
Yeah. He's holding his wand and trips and he's thinking about like, I got to get my broomstick out so that I can get to London. And the night bus appears. So I thought that that was like
and almost
a funny,
runs him over.
Yes. And I thought that was a funny coincidence because it's like it happens entirely by accident. It's such a common motion to just be like holding out your wand and stamp it standing at the curb. But yeah,
to me, it seems just like. Okay, hailing a taxi, that motion with his wand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it entertained me. A weird thing, though, about this article, curb is spelled K-E-R-B in it. Is that how the British spell curb?
I don't know.
That's messed up.
We in, at the very least, America, hopefully more places, spell it C-U-R-B.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. So email in, please, if you are... not American and you spell it like that. I'm not going to say British because I imagine other people spell it that way. And the other interesting thing from this Wizarding World article was that the driver and conductor of the night bus, Ernie and Stan, are named for J.K. Rowling's grandfathers, Ernest and Stanley.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. According, I have a little bit more about their names that expands on that. According to the Harry Potter lexicon, Shunpike, which is Stan's last name, is a term which refers to a side road that avoids a major highway. The Harry Potter wiki expands on that and says that the phrase shunning a pike is when you swerve onto a highway exit to avoid a toll booth on the highway. So like you just take the exit, go around the toll booth and hop back on.
Which is very much what the night bus does as it avoids roads at times. Yeah. And it has
It shuns some pikes.
it shuns some pikes. It also like pushes things out of the way.
Yeah, which I thought was a good contrast to the movie, because in the movie it's like swerving around and squeezing between things, but in the book it does that too, but it moves things out of the way.
Yeah, like the Ernie can drive as recklessly as he wants and things just move out of his way and then go back in place after it passes.
Yeah.
Including an entire farmhouse at one point. So I'm like, oh, what if he runs into a building and I said, nope, that's not possible, apparently.
Yes. And then about Ernie, his last name is Prang, P-R-A-N-G. The lexicon claims that Prang is slang for crash. The Harry Potter wiki says Prang is specifically slang for wrecking an automobile, which are similar enough. I've never heard the phrase before, so I can't weigh in on either side. But either way, suits Ernie.
Oh, yeah. So it sounds like both are named after like just poor driving practices.
Yeah. Which should give you a lot of confidence in getting on the night bus and meeting this guy, Stan Shunpike.
On top of being confident in being driven by these people, the safety of the bus is questionable.
Yeah, it's beds basically that just kind of slosh around and bang around.
Nothing
in the bus
is bolted down. The driver and the conductor both sit in armchairs, which apparently can swivel completely around, and they sit next to each other, which is like it's nice for them, but very weird for like an actual bus and car.
Yeah, it kind of made me think of in Spaceballs how they have the like flying Winnebago and. Of what's his name? Lone Star and Barf sitting there. I feel like they're in recliners.
I mean, it's supposed to be an RV, so I believe that.
Yeah, that's just what I thought of.
But also, during the daytime, apparently the night bus has seats. The beds disappear and the night bus has seats, but the seats are also not bolted down.
Yes.
The seats also move around like the beds and everything else does.
Yes, that is correct. There are also multiple floors to the night bus. It's like
three floors.
Triple decker or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A triple decker bus. And as Joe said before, they do serve hot chocolate and other things. but the hot chocolate apparently does not make it to the recipient in a way they often would like.
So the prices for the night bus, at least for Harry to get from close to Privet Drive, they said he made it like two blocks over.
Yes, which some very dedicated fan on the Harry Potter lexicon made a map of like the Privet Drive area, but with like the roads and everything. And based off of that, Harry did not go far at all. But at some point in the books, apparently it lends itself to the understanding that Privet Drive, or at least the area with Privet Drive, is about 12 miles from the Leaky Cauldron.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's theoretically not traveling far. But when Harry first gets on the night bus, they like warp to Wales, which was originally where they were traveling.
Yeah. It seems like it'll teleport to pick up whoever and then go back to where it was.
Yeah. Like go back to its route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, and it goes by order of who gets on.
Right. Which seems fair.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe not efficient, but fair. efficient when you can teleport around, I guess, which I guess begs the question of why they don't teleport all the time. But I won't get into that. Interestingly, Stan does specify that the night bus cannot go underwater, but the place that they're going in Wales is apparently an island. And so
there are bridges.
Oh, somebody on the lexicon, I think it was like, oh, clearly can go over water. Bridges did not occur to me when I read that. I pictured the night bus riding on top of water.
It also, in the chapter, it talks about the night bus, like, skipping hundreds of miles at a time.
Mm,
so potentially it made that jump.
Yes.
But yeah, bridges are a thing.
Okay. Yeah. So you were talking about the prices.
Yes. So for Harry to get to London, for him is going to be 11 sickles for a flat ride. And then 13 or 13, if you know what actual numbers are, 13 sickles for the ride plus hot chocolate. And then for 15 sickles, just two more, you get a hot water bottle, which doesn't sound very appetizing.
No, I didn't like that.
And a toothbrush with the color of your choice.
I thought that the hot water bottle could either be like a heating pad, you know, like when you're hurt, you get like a hot pack and put that on you, which would, I guess, line up if it's transporting like sick people a lot of the time. And then also I thought like for tea, you know, people will ask for like hot water. And then they'll have their own tea or they'll have their choice of tea. So I thought maybe for that. But yeah, hot water bottle seemed weird.
Yeah. But I know people who do drink straight hot water. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah. There's a tier where you get a toothbrush as well, right?
That was the 15. I said that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you get to pick the color of the toothbrush.
Oh, that's
nice.
And
I'm curious if they have a certain like collection of colors or if they just have all the same toothbrushes and they just make it whatever color you ask for.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. When I go to the dentist, they ask me what color toothbrush that I want. I'm like, I don't really care. Although it's occurring to me now that like they ask children that, which is why I'm always like, why are you asking me this? But now it's occurring to me that like people in households like assign toothbrush colors.
Yeah.
So that, yeah. Okay. I did do a conversion for the 11 sickles into like real world money. I only did the 11 sickles just because I'm like, it's not that much more for the other stuff. So I'm not going to convert all of these.
Depends how much a sickle is.
Okay. So 11 sickles in US dollars. And keep in mind that I do use a converter that does it like to the day. So like, what is the dollar value today? So it might shift depending on, you know, if you go and check my math, which I don't know why you would do that, why you would be a monster. But so 11 sickles in US dollars is $4.42. In euros, it's $3.62. Is that what they call it in euros? It's 3.62 euros, basically, and 3.24 pounds.
All right.
Which seems reasonable, but then I'm like, he's only going 12 miles, and I also don't know what buses cost, really.
Buses are around there. It varies depending entirely on like the location of the
bus. Okay. And again, like we couldn't necessarily be like, oh, well, buses in America only cost this. So because they're in London. So
yeah.
I don't know what London buses cost, but this seemed reasonable to me, you know, like $5 to get to where you need to go.
Yeah, I would
maybe
agree.
Not in the conditions. I would not choose those the conditions on the night bus. But
but I mean, you could have traveled very far and, you know, for it to show up immediately and take you there.
Yeah, that's true.
Plus a bed to sleep in for, depending on the situation, that might be very necessary.
I don't know if I would be able to sleep on the night bus. So Harry gets on the night bus and says that he'd like to go to Diagon Alley. And on the night bus, while they're traveling along, Stan is reading a newspaper, and Harry learns from Stan about the escaped prisoner Sirius Black, who we mentioned in the first chapter.
Yes, we see Sirius Black, and Harry realizes, hey, he was on Muggle TV.
Yes, which he shouts out, which, like, Harry, you're not doing very good in, like, giving yourself a cover here.
I mean, wizards can have seen Muggle TV.
Absolutely. But for him to be like, hey, he was on Muggle TV. It's like, what, have you not been reading the papers, dummy?
I mean, no.
Okay. I'm saying that, like, if Harry's disguise, like, if his alias is Neville Longbottom, and somebody were to look into this and be like, why would Neville Longbottom be like, this guy was on Muggle TV, and I have no idea who he is otherwise. Like, Neville lives in a wizarding family.
He's also a child.
I guess.
On top of that, a normal person wouldn't think Harry, like a person who has never met Harry Potter before, wouldn't think, here's the savior of the wizarding world. He knows nothing about wizards.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem like Harry was doing a great job of maintaining his false identity to me.
I don't think anything he said would have specified that he was Harry Potter.
But it certainly does call into question him being Neville Longbottom.
Who knows who Neville Longbottom is?
Don't make me sad. That's such a sad idea. Neville
Longbottom
doesn't matter.
Is also another 13-year-old wizard.
Okay, all right.
He's not like a big
name. Harry learns about Sirius Black. To break down the name Sirius Black, Sirius comes from the Greek Sirios, meaning burning. Sirius is, of course, the dog star, which is the brightest in the Canis Major constellation, which is also known as the Great Dog. And in Greek mythology, Sirius is Orion's dog.
Okay.
So lots of dog stuff that we won't dig into. Black is a color. The Harry Potter lexicon has this really long comment that somebody did about alchemy and what black signifies in that and how that connects to Harry's journey throughout the books, which I thought was very interesting and very thought out. It felt like reaching a little bit to me, so I'm just going to link it in the show notes. I'm not going to read it here because it really goes far, and it also talks about, like, spoilers, so I'm not going to dig into that. Rowling has also made some comments about, like, how she regards Black as a character, but I'm not going to get into those either because also spoilers.
We know very little about Black that we can talk about right now.
Right.
Or at the very least, Harry knows very little bit about Black.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the background that I can give on his name, at least. And Stan both shares the newspaper article with Harry and also tells Harry, like, his version of what happened with Sirius Black all those years ago.
And considering... Sorry to diverge away, but considering there was only one other person on the bottom floor, the idea that Stan decided to put him directly behind them was interesting until I realized at the end, Stan is like, it really is Harry. Like, he thought it was Harry the whole time after he saw his scar in the beginning.
Yeah, I think Stan is at least suspecting that Neville Longbottom is not who he says he is. And my thought also was just that Harry's a minor. Like, there's other people in the night bus, but from what we can tell, they're adults. So I guess it would make sense to keep an eye on the minor that you found alone on the street at night.
Potentially, but you don't know that there's not more upstairs.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but that's a possibility. So Stan tells this story about Sirius Black, about who he is and what he did to land him in Azkaban. Stan claims that Sirius was one of Voldemort's most loyal followers, who expected to be second in command once Voldemort took over.
There was a lot of I hear and
yes,
it said.
And keep in mind, too, that Harry, when he first sees Stan, he's like, oh, he's all pimply. He looks like he's maybe like 18, 19 years old. So Stan was a small child when all of this went down. So yeah. He might not have the firmest grasp on all of these events.
Yeah, Stan was like 5 or 6.
Yeah, we don't know exactly how old Stan is, but yeah. So after Voldemort was defeated when Harry was a baby and the killing curse rebounded, Sirius blew up a street, which killed, allegedly, one wizard and a dozen muggles. And then he was captured by the ministry and dragged away laughing hysterically, which Stan posits as just like, yeah, he's cracked. He's out of his mind.
And on top of that, what seemed interesting was supposedly he did this because he was cornered.
Mm-hmm.
But then he didn't put up a fight when he was arrested.
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of kind of whys and what ifs in this story, I think.
But then Ernie does add in, if he wasn't mad when he got in, he's certainly mad now.
Yes. So because all of this happened shortly after Voldemort was defeated, Harry is 13 now. So it's been 12 years that Sirius Black has been in Azkaban, and now he has broken out. Harry also sees Sirius's like mugshot on the Daily Prophet article that Stan is reading. And Sirius is described as having white, waxy skin. And I don't remember when, but I think we've discussed Sirius's race before, or at least mentioned it very, very briefly. It might have been our last episode with Angel, but I don't remember now. Yeah. So this at least suggests that he's white. Of course, I would like there to be more diversity in these books, but I wanted to point out one of the few moments when somebody's like skin tone is actually explicitly mentioned, because that's a debate for some terrible people that like, well, they're never explicitly said to be this race, so they must be white. We can assume that Sirius is white, I guess. I would love for, you know, characters to be more diverse than that. I don't think, though, that Rowling making the character who's a criminal and whose last name is literally Black a person of color would have been the most progressive choice.
Nope.
Not to say that, you know, people's headcanons can't have Sirius Black be a person of color, but if like the description of his mugshot was like, oh, he's Black or whatever, it'd be like, oh, okay, this one character that you care to tell us is Black is also a criminal would be questionable, especially because, as we know, J.K. Rowling is a sack of human garbage. So I wanted to point that out. It doesn't really matter that much, but it is there.
Yes. So this is one of like three people, I think, that have been specified as having a race.
Yeah. I mean, the only other ones I can think of are Dean. Yep. And that might be it.
I'll look into it later.
Yeah, I don't know. There was that whole thing about like Hermione having pale cheeks at one point that people take to mean like, oh, Hermione must be white. But I'm not interested in that discourse.
No, I think it was that her cheeks were very dark after a trip abroad.
Maybe I'm confusing it. OK, yeah, whatever. You can imagine the Harry Potter characters to be whatever race that you want, because we're trying to invoke death of the author as much as we possibly can when the author is still alive and spewing horrible things on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, Sirius Black has waxy white skin.
Yeah. I didn't know what to make of the waxy.
I thought of that as like, he's just like really gross and greasy.
Okay.
But like candle white, of like, he has not seen the sun in 12 years.
Which would fit if you're in prison.
Yeah.
Like a high security prison. Yeah.
He's not seen the sun in those 12 years.
Yeah. Thinking of Azkaban, though, there are also a lot of references in these chapter to the Azkaban guards. They're not named or described or in any way, but people still obviously seem very fearful of them in Azkaban in general. So I thought that was interesting, because you'll learn a lot more about the Azkaban guards as this book goes on.
Yes, they're definitely seen as scary. Mm-hmm. Even Fudge at the end of this chapter does mention that the guards have never failed yet, and they're angrier than ever.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is honestly what I have for the night bus. The night bus takes Harry to the Leaky Cauldron, unless you have anything you want to pop in there.
Nope, you're good.
Okay. So the night bus takes Harry to the Leaky Cauldron in London. And
he gets off, I guess, backwards. Because
what makes you say that?
Because Cornelius grabs his shoulder from behind, and Harry does not know who it is until Cornelius has his hands on him.
Grabs it from behind. Okay, I guess I can see that.
If we look at the scene, he turns to say goodbye to Stan.
Right. That's what I assume, and that he was like standing.
Stan
like in the
is
door.
Looking at the doorway. Mm-hmm. And not paying attention to Harry, because the Minister of Magic has come into frame and grabs a hold of Cornelius, who exposes Harry's secret identity.
Yes. He's like, oh, Harry, good to see you. And Stan is like, I told you, I knew it was Harry Potter.
Ern, come here, Ern.
Yeah.
Come look at this, Ern.
Yes. So Fudge pulls Harry into the Leaky Cauldron. They get a private room because obviously everybody would be gawking at arguably like two of the most famous people in the wizarding world being in Leaky Cauldron together.
Yeah.
So they get this private room and Harry is like, all right, well, this is it. I'm about to get expelled. I'm in trouble here. And Fudge is just kind of like, ah, forget about it, my dear boy. It's all good.
Who hasn't blown up their amp before?
Nobody's going to expel you over this stuff. And he talks about Aunt Marge being punctured, which we said previously is horrifying. And he basically hushes everything up, saying that circumstances change and they have to take into account the present climate, which also raises a lot of questions about what circumstances, what climate. And
but on that note, Harry does ask, have you had any luck with Black yet?
Yes. And Fudge seems to get, you know, kind of. Oh,
you heard.
Yes. He's a little surprised, a little taken aback by that question. And all throughout the conversation, Fudge keeps bringing up like knowing Harry's whereabouts and worrying about Harry. Like when he says like, oh, we heard that you ran from your family's house. We were worried about that. And he tells Harry, OK, you'll stay in the Leaky Cauldron for the next 3 weeks until the school year starts and stay in Diagon Alley. I don't want you wandering off into the
Muggle sign of London.
I'll tell Tom to keep an eye on you and
be back before nighttime.
And at the end, Harry makes another desperate shot to get his permission slip signed for Hogsmeade. He's like, well, you're the Minister of Magic.
If you
so
say
you
it's okay,
it.
Yeah. Then it's okay.
And Fudge is like, no, I can't do that. I'm not your parent or guardian. And it's probably best if you don't go to Hogsmeade.
Yeah. In fact, I think it best if you don't. Yes. Yes. Well, I'll be off.
Yeah. He has this very like nervous energy and he feels like he's like dancing around something. And so we'll see how that develops in the book. But it definitely raises a lot of questions about Fudge here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of the chapter. It's not a long one, not a beefy one.
I would like to go back to Fudge introduces himself to Harry.
Yes.
And we've seen Fudge before, which means Harry has seen Fudge before. But Harry makes a mental note of like, oh, yeah, I was underneath an invisibility cloak. He has never met me before.
Yeah,
I should not.
And I think that if he had tripped that up and be like, oh, yes, I know, like Cornelius Fudge, let's shake hands.
That would be easy to be like, I've seen your picture.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Harry is quite that slick. But yeah, he could have played it off. But I did like that, too. That little detail of like, oh, wait, nope. I was not supposed to be there when I saw Fudge.
Which was, by the way, when someone else was sent to Azkaban.
Yes.
Yeah, that was when Hagrid was sent to Azkaban and spent 2 months there.
Yeah, which, they gave us a number and I was like, God, was it really 2 months? That's a long time.
It is, especially we're going to learn a lot more about Azkaban and there's a reason Hagrid was afraid and there's a reason, like Harry notes that when he came back, he was still shook.
Yeah, yeah. Azkaban's not a fun place. Turns out prison, not great.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so that's kind of the chapter, unless you have any other stray observations.
The last thing I would like to say is that this whole chapter took place over just a couple hours.
Yeah.
Which was interesting to have like hard concrete timeline.
Hard concrete timeline. And also people have figured out to varying degrees of accuracy just based on like events in the books and dates when things specifically take place. And this is specifically the night of August 6th. Into August 7th, because the chapter ends with Harry like watching the sunrise and Hedwig also shows up, which is a fun little thing. Tom's like, oh,
Tom says
smart
it's your
bird.
Smart bird.
She showed up a few minutes after you. Yeah. So we know exactly when this is, which is we don't always get that. It's always like, oh, it was winter.
And then as someone who wears glasses, falling asleep in glasses is not the most comfortable, but it happens. And you don't always feel great the next morning.
No. Okay. I don't know. I don't wear glasses, so I've never experienced that. I have to imagine, though, because I think about what it's like to wear glasses a lot, because I know that give me like 10 or 20 years and I'll probably need them. Like, it must be so disorienting to wake up and just not be able to see.
You get used to it.
OK, I'm not looking forward to that.
You've got time. Your eyes are good.
For now. yes. So that is the chapter. Which...
Are you ready to move on to Spell of the Week? So this week we're going to be talking about a charm, which potentially it's theorized that this could be what is used on the night bus itself.
OK,
it's the Imperturbable charm. We're going to see it used later on something totally different and basically for a different effect. But it is an invisible barrier that is created around an object. Potentially, it's created around the night bus, and that could explain why objects move away from it and why muggles cannot hear it, because it muffles sounds and objects bounce off the barrier. So it would have to be a very strong one to put things back in place, I suppose.
Nice.
Yep.
The imperturbable charm.
There's really not much else I can say about it without talking about the next time it's used.
Yeah, there's this was another one of those tough chapters where it's hard to find a spell or magical thing to talk about that isn't just the night bus, because if we left the night bus for spell of the week, we would have nothing to talk about. And fair warning too, spell of the week is going to repeat at some point.
We'll find weird, obscure things. We've already done.
We've already done a lot of weird and obscure things.
We've done chapters with spells that have only shown up in the Lego Harry Potter games.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So don't expect too much from us is the message.
Lower your expectations.
Yes. That's a good philosophy for life. So that is spell of the week. Unfortunately, we do not have any emails to talk about for this episode. But if you want to send an email with your comments, your corrections, information about how the night bus was created in 1865 when cars were not invented until 30 some odd years later, email us at owlpost, OWLPOST, at podtrificustotalis.com. You can also visit our website, podtrificustotalis.com, where we have detailed show notes and all the episodes, and there's a button to help you email us if you need help doing that. And of course, you can find us on all podcast platforms and like us and review us on there. I don't care where. Give us a little review. It makes my day to see people are like, yo, this is a 5-star podcast, quality stuff. Love it. Just, you know, puts a little smile on my face.
Cassie lives for that.
Yes, I do have, for our website, we use WordPress, and I have a little plugin that automatically checks iTunes reviews for me. The last one, I'm pretty sure, was a full year ago, so I would love a new review. So you could do that, and the best thing you can do also is just tell a friend about Podtrificus Totalis. If you've got a friend that loves Harry Potter, be like, hey, there's this great podcast out there. It's got a real cool name. It's called Podtrificus Totalis.
I would say keep stretching, because we're not far from half of the episode being this outro.
I can. You know that I can. But
one last thing. If you are going to email us and tell us how the invention of the car could happen after the night bus is invented, which supposedly is based on the invention of the car. Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if it's not about an object we're about to see in
hope not. That would... okay. We'll get into that in 17 chapters or so.
Don't give me your fan theories about Hermione's toys.
I'll give you a little hint. Joe is wearing a Back to the Future t-shirt right now, and it's related to that. So, yes, you can join us for Chapter 4 of Prisoner of Azkaban.
The Leaky Cauldron.